congregation please rise in our entrance hymn? It's hymn number 522 as we gather at your table. Hymn 522. Forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, and on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 876, verses 1 and 2 only today. Hymn 876, Let the Whole Creation Cry, verses 1 and 2. Let us pray. Almighty God, teach us to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
The first reading today comes from Jeremiah. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a desertion all day long. If I say I will not mention the Lord or speak any more in the Lord's name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary and holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whisperings, terror is all around. Denounce the Lord. Let us denounce the Lord. All my close friends are welcoming for me, are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps the Lord can be enticed, and we can prevail against the Lord and take our revenge on the Lord. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. And they will not prevail. They all will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteousness. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For the Lord has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 69, verses 7 through 18. For it is for you, your sake, and I have borne reproach.
That shame has covered my face.
I have become a stranger to my kindred.
An alien to my mother's children.
It is zeal for your house and has consumed me.
The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.
When I humbled my soul with fasting,
they insulted me for doing so.
Then I made sackcloth my clothing.
I became ivory to them.
I am the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate.
And the drunkards make songs about me.
But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord.
At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me.
With your faithful help, rescue me from sinking in the mire.
Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters.
Do not let the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me.
Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good.
For me in distress, make haste to answer me.
Draw near to me, redeem me.
Set me free because of my enemies. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today comes from Romans. What then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all who have been baptized into the Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whomever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. The life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in the Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel for today, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. We stand in honor of the reading of the Gospel and the Word in our midst, but I invite you to be seated once again this week because the Gospel is long enough that I don't want you to be distracted by its length and wondering when I may be done. The Holy Gospel. Matthew 10, Jesus speaks to his disciples and followers, saying these words. A disciple, a student, is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Let us pray at this time in preparation for the sermon. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a female pastor who had a son in preschool. The son accidentally spilled an entire carton of milk on the kitchen floor. He was devastated by his mistake. He knew that he was in big trouble. So the son helped his mother mop the floor. She, the mother, assured him that everything was going to be just fine. She said, "Look, now the whole floor is nice and clean and sparkly." Because his mother's son is so happy and forgiving, the son thought for a moment and turned to her and said brightly and boldly, "Hey, maybe I should spill milk on the floor more often." The mother said, "No." The Apostle Paul said the same thing to the church in Rome. "By no means. Just because you're forgiven for spilling milk doesn't mean that you should do it over and over and over again." And so he says this to the congregation in Rome. Just because God, in Christ Jesus, has the power to make all things right through his death and sacrifice, it's not an invitation to do the wrong. One theologian says it this way about baptism, because Paul talks about baptism here too. In our baptism liturgy, the charge to the parents and godparents concludes with these words, quote, "This is a day to remember and be kept. This is a day to remember and be kept sacred." And that $15 religious word sacred means holy or set aside. In my 37 years of ministry thus far, I've had only one family that have ever remembered their baptismal birthdays. And that's a family from this community and this congregation. Out of 37 years and all the places that I have served, only one family has taken that seriously, that their baptismal birthdays were just as important as their birthdays. The theologian goes on to say, I do not think anyone really does this. Baptism has become a somewhat toothless sacrament, a life event not unlike graduation, or the prom, or weddings, or whatever. I think that a lot of times we as Christians, I put us all in the same boat, forget that baptism is a gift. Baptism is a gift. And my confirmation students, that's the first 8 weeks of confirmation for the whole 2 years that we remember every single week. The two questions on the test every week is, what is grace? God's undeserved love, God's love in action. Two definitions. They know it after 2 years. And the second question is, what is your baptismal date? If I was a mean old pastor, confirmation students, past and present, I'd make you tell me what your baptismal date is. Do you remember? I'm looking straight at you. She's saying, don't look at me. Yeah, she's saying, yeah, I remember. I won't call you out. My baptism was August 30th, 1959. I didn't know that till I was a pastor, and I made the kids tell me theirs. And they said, some kid in my very first confirmation class up in Montana said, okay, pastor, when was yours? I had to go look it up. Oops, called on the carpet. But I never forgot it. August 30th, 1959. We forget that the gifts are given to us of forgiveness of sin, new life now, as well as in a world to come, and the presence of God in our lives forever, now, and as well as in a world to come. We forget that baptism is a gift. And there are some congregations that don't even have a baptismal font in their sanctuary. Forget about up front. During the 50 days of Easter is right front and center. But there are a lot of congregations, as well as the cross. We come in and go out by the cross, right? And then we have a cross up on the altar. They don't have a baptismal font either. A lot of churches. Look at your friends and family's churches online or when you visit them and go to church, because of course you do when you're on vacation, like Pastor Beek, okay? Look and see where their font is or if they have one. A lot of churches don't have a baptismal font anymore. Shepherd of the Mountains Lutheran Church, ELCA, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where I was for 13 years. The first 6 years I was there, we had no church building. We worshiped in boardrooms, the school boardroom. Then we got big enough, we went to a cafeteria. And then we got so big for that, we went to two different gymnasiums. We moved four times in 6 years. In church development, it is known that if you move more than once, you're dead. You don't move from where you're worshiping on Sunday morning. We moved four times in 6 years. I shook my head, thought, when are we going to die? I would get up at 5 o'clock Sunday morning, not only to shower, shave, and shine, because I didn't have all this back then, and not only to pray and get ready for the sermon and Sunday school, adult Bible study, but I would go to the place that we had been last year and put up magnetic signs saying, we've moved. We're now at this address. I did that for 6 years in a row. And you know I'm not a morning person. Only for God and dead people do I get up early in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, I would get up. And I put signs on the past place, past cafeteria, past gymnasium that we were at. We were in two different gymnasiums, you know. Couldn't just be at one. Because they tore down the one. It was the old high school. Tore it down. Four times in 6 years we moved and I put up signs. But even better than that, we would have to go into the gymnasium and set up all the chairs. I love pews that are bolted down. I love pews. That's a gift from God. We had to set up all the chairs in the gymnasium because they used it Monday through Friday for school. And then during the summer, you know, they were cleaning and all that. Set up all the chairs. We had to put out all the hymnals. I didn't haul the hymnals. I wouldn't do that. And then we set up all the furniture. In my double garage, we had church. We had the baptismal font. We had the pulpit. We had the altar. We had all the signs about Shepherd Moms of the Church. Come on in. We welcome everyone. I had a bag full of brochures from the Bible camp and devotionals and bulletins that I brought every week and laid out on a table and took home every week to my office in my home. And finally, people saw me. And there were other people that helped when they showed up. There were other people that helped do all that. And a number of people very kindly said, Pastor Beek, why do you haul that solid oak baptismal font from your garage every Sunday? A man in the congregation made the baptismal font. It was square, solid oak, heavier than sin. Had a lid on it with a big cross. A ceramic bowl that they found at some art show or something. Huge, you know, punch bowl, ceramic, heavier than sin. And the people were trying to help me out. Because I was young and good looking back then. Asked Juanita Burmeister, she has a picture of me then. She said, you were good looking once. Yeah. And I could haul things around. But they said, leave it in your garage. We don't have a baptism today. I said, oh, don't get me started. I could preach a sermon on this. The baptismal font, the altar table and the pulpit, the water, the meal, and the word are important to us. They're important to our liturgy. They're important to our doctrine and our faith. So every Sunday we have the word. We've got the presence of the water and the meal. And they went, oh, it's still too heavy for you to haul around. I'd lay down in my Jeep Grand Cherokee V8 tow hitch. Yeah, I had nothing to tow. But lay down all the seats, and from floor to ceiling, it was filled with church furniture and signage. It was that important to have baptism in our midst every Sunday. And then, like a fool, we went and we dedicated. A month after I was there, we had purchased 1.5 acres worth $1.5 million. $500,000 an acre. Is that how that works? No, half an acre. Half an acre, $500,000. We paid only $250,000, $250,000. We got a deal, a steal. This was back in 1995, Jackson Hole. We went, we had a land dedication. Just like Moses and Aaron and the people, when they came to the promised land, they bought land. The same day they called me as their pastor, they paid $250,000 for land, and we're paying a mortgage. They said, how do you feel about that? I said, I don't feel anything about it. It's your problem, not mine. I simply preach and teach the gospel. We went out to the land, and it was in the springtime, okay, because we had waited for the winter to go away, so it was like in July, springtime in Jackson Hole. And this is going to be a long story now, but sermon's short, so there you go. I drove my Jeep Cherokee. I was dressed like I always am on Sunday morning, you know, my dress shoes, my wool pants, my cleric and everything. We were going to have a dedication of land. I drove my Jeep Cherokee V8, four-wheel drive, into the lot. And people knew better than that. I drove into the middle of the lot, and my Jeep Cherokee started sinking. Front end first. I thought, well, I got four-wheel drive, and I got people with trucks here. They can pull me out. I stepped out of the car, and I was up to my ankle in mud. We filled a mason jar, a quart mason jar, full of mud. And next to the baptismal font, where we are promised life and forgiveness of sin and the presence of God, we had on a plant stand the mason jar every week. For 6 years, I hauled that jar of dirt to church every week as a promise of God that we had promised land. And once we moved, 6 years later, into the new church building, we dumped the dirt into the flower bin and went, yay! Don't have to haul that around anymore. We put the baptismal font in the front next to the altar and went, yay! Don't have to haul that back and forth every Sunday. We put the pews out. They were, you know, chairs that hooked together. It was hip and happy in the 1990s. I like pews bolted to the floor. And we put the hymnals out, and we never picked them up again. Yay! Long-winded story to let you know that, yes, baptism is a gift, and we should never forget it. Paschal candle next to the font. Why, Pastor, do you haul that heavy, solid oak baptismal font every week? We're not doing a baptism today. Because it's a gift. And we shouldn't forget the gifts God has given us in our baptism. Just like the altar is a gift, altar table, where we feed on Christ's body and blood, we are nourished by his presence. Just like the pulpit, hopefully you are fed and nourished by the word of God each week. Paul's remarks to the congregation in Rome in chapter 6 reminds us that baptism is more than simply a rite of passage, graduation, prom, marriage. Baptism is a radical change in identity. Named, made a child of God, one who's opened up to new possibilities. So that we too might walk in newness of life. Did you hear that? Paul can be so poetic sometimes. That we too might walk in newness of life. Listen again to Paul's saying. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin and spilling milk on the kitchen floor in order that grace and forgiveness may abound from God the Father and our Mother? By no means, Paul says. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And that's not when you die and go to heaven by and by, pie in the sky. That's today. Eternal life began today for you. When you woke up and were barely able to stretch your arms and legs out and get the muscles and the aches and the pains going. Did you notice I didn't kneel today? Arthritis in the knees. Some days are better than others now. You'll know if I've had a good week or a bad week, whether I kneel at confession or not. You know, true sign. We wake up to new life every day. But how many of us remember that? Or only on Sunday do we remember when the preacher says it from the pulpit? Monday through Saturday, we should remember it too. As we splash water on our face and we brush our teeth and do all that we do to prepare for the day, we are to remember our baptisms and the gift given to us in it. The little boy said to his mother, "Hey, maybe I should spill milk on the floor more often then." By no means. But we are given the gift that we too might walk in newness of life, just like the little boy was given by his mother. Amen. I told two of the three TD girls this morning that I had been thinking about their mother all week, Helen. Because I know that this was one of her favorite hymns. Hymn number 71 in the other songbook. So turn in the other songbook, hymn 71, was one of her favorite. And I can remember she and Otto sitting right up here. And I could hear her soprano voice. When I first moved here the first few years, I could hear Helen's. And we sang it usually once a year, probably on this Sunday. I could hear her soprano voice sing this hymn. So I'm going to be celebrating her as we sing this hymn. It's a familiar hymn to some, it may not be to others. The words are great though, and the tune's not too hard. So we'll follow Marita's lead, and we sing hymn number 71, His Eye Is On His Sparrow.
Oh, sopranos, and they're flat, but there's still an E and an F. I can't even hit that high of octave lower. I was singing the bass line. No one really remembers her singing that. I invite you to rise for the Apostles' Creed, the Confession of Faith, found on page 105, and for the prayers of the church. We confess our faith in these same words, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, we remember in our prayers in the church our Bishops Elizabeth Eaton, Kristen Kempwell, and Megan Manlo. We pray this whole month of June for our mission partner ministry, Hope House, in Marcy, Idaho. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan, and for the migrant shipwreck in Greece, where 700 to 800 people were casualties, and for the monsoons in India, that they are anticipating hundreds of thousands, not thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people being affected by in the next months to come. So we pray for those events in our world. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. You entice your church to speak truth that challenges false notions of peace. Prevail upon us with the good news of Christ's death and resurrection that we are compelled to share the gospel with all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Under your watch, not even a sparrow goes unnoticed. Safeguard plant and animal habitats threatened by melting glaciers, rising oceans, and receding coastlines. Amplify the voices of those calling for responsible stewardship of all of the Earth's resources. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. Our world is enduring violence and destruction. Rescue your people in nations experiencing conflict or crisis. Especially today, we remember Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, the surrounding countries of those nations. Stop the efforts of those who sow chaos and terror, and guide those working to bring peace and reconciliation. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. You have counted even the hairs on our heads. Comfort your people and bring them healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Thank you for our youth, their families, and all those providing our Sunday brunch today. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you especially those whom we lift up before you in hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy, the new life, and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today. None today, I guess. I should have crossed that out. Happy birthday this week to Jessica Kawamara, Jean Beek, Dalton Duba, Kelly Brannick, Mackenzie Olson, Vernon Wetzel, Alexis Swanson. Happy anniversary this week to Chuck and Sharon Strom, Andrew and Laura Porth, Clay and Debbie Erickson. A special congregational meeting, which was scheduled for Sunday, June 18th, 2023, has been postponed. A letter a couple of months ago was mailed to all voting members of the congregation for a special meeting to adjust the number of council members from 12 members to 10 members. The meeting and the vote to make this change to our constitution will now take place following worship, July 9th, 2023. Thank you for your attention to this matter. A youth group fundraiser, a Sunday brunch, will be held today, June 25th, 2023, at 11:15 in the Fellowship Hall. See you there. St. John's Vacation Bible School 2023 Hero Hotline, Call Together to Serve God. It's being held Monday through Friday, July 10th to the 14th, 2023, from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each day. AF Daily Bread will be held Monday, coming up tomorrow, 5:30 to 6:30. Anybody wishing to volunteer, which would be appreciated, should contact Pat Lute. Are there any other announcements not found in this worship bulletin, or corrections or additions to the ones found here?
I just want to touch on the brunch. So there's eggs, waffles, and toppings, and sausage. Make sure you come because it's a fundraiser for the youth activities. Donations are greatly appreciated. Thank you.
I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our Easter offertory hymn is hymn 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Thank you.
through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the great thanksgiving in preparation for the Eucharist, found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal. We responsibly speak the great thanksgiving, but we sing the Holy, Holy, and the Lamb of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
We remain standing to prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn.
Thank you.
canon call, hymn 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Number 836, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, 836.